Hello, everybody, and welcome to Small Steps for Better Health, our podcast series on small, sustainable steps we can take to improve our health. This week, we are on small step number 8, which is all about healthy sleep habits. My name is Jeannie Alice Bruce. I'm the social media specialist in the marketing department at North Mississippi Health Services, and I am joined today by Dr. Lakeisha Chisholm. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Chisholm. Would you please introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. My name is Dr. Lakeisha Chisholm. I'm a family medicine physician. I practice at Verona Medical Clinic in Verona, Mississippi, which is part of North Mississippi Medical Center.
Great. Thank you. Dr. Chisholm's patients love her and talk about how wonderful she is all the time. So we're really grateful that she took a few minutes today to be on our podcast. So we know sleep is important, but can you, from a physician's perspective, tell us about why healthy sleep is important?
Yeah, sleep is very important for several reasons. The number one reason is, you know, our bodies need to rest. Mm-hmm. We have to give our bodies time to recover from all the things that we've done throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, our minds need that rest as well. Mm-hmm. We need to give our bodies time to recover and just rejuvenate. Also, when you're sleeping, you are really improving your immune system function, mm-hmm. and your metabolism depends a lot on your sleep as well. So high quality sleep is very important, and we want to make sure that our patients are taking care of themselves, eating healthy, but also sleeping well.
Right.
A lot of people put emphasis on healthy eating and exercise, mm-hmm. and that's what we hear a lot about, and
sure.
that's very important, but sleep is equally as important. All those things work together to make sure that your immune system, your metabolic health, your overall health, your cognition, all those things are working properly.
Mm-hmm. How much sleep should we be trying to get?
So typically we recommend between 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. Frequently you hear that magic number being 8 hours of sleep mm-hmm. a night. So we shoot for that number, and that's a good amount of time to allow your body to just power down and rest mm-hmm. and recover. So you feel refreshed and feel better when you wake up the next morning.
Great. So this week, our small step is to work on creating a relaxing nighttime routine. And talk to us a little bit about why that's important and how having that nighttime routine or some healthy sleep habits can help us get better sleep, better quality sleep.
Of course. So when I talk to patients and they say, well, I can't sleep at night, mm-hmm. the first thing that I tend to ask them is, well, describe to me your sleep environment.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in the bedroom? Are you on a recliner in front of the TV? Do you have pets in the room with you? Do you have small children? Tell me about the electronic devices in your bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big problem. That's the most common problem that I discover when I speak with patients.
Yes.
Typically, they'll say, well, I have the TV on for background noise, mm-hmm. or my cell phone is constantly vibrating or ringing, or I'm watching a movie or videos on my iPad, I'm on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And mistakenly, people think that they can use those things to help them relax, but mm-hmm. it actually does a little bit of the opposite.
Right.
So the light from the electronic devices actually activates your brain and makes you feel more awake.
Right.
So it's important to really pay attention to what things you have in your bedroom that may actually be hindering your sleep or making it more difficult to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from the electronic devices, I always ask my patients about, you know, is it comfortable? Is mm-hmm. your sleep environment comfortable? How's the temperature in the room? Do you prefer to have a fan? Do you have a lot of light that comes into the room mm-hmm. that may be keeping you awake? What about noise issues? Who do you live with? Is there anything that is distracting that causes you to have difficulty sleeping? I know we love our little pets and they're sweet and we love them for companions. And sometimes even that can be a little bit of a hindrance to quality sleep if they're moving around a lot.
Yeah.
Or if you don't realize, some of that pet dander can cause, you know, sneezing or breathing
right.
difficulties. So that's something else to keep in mind as well.
Yeah. Okay. And so let's talk about, if we know we're not supposed to spend a lot of time watching television or looking at our phones right before we go to bed, what, because, you know, I know personally, and I'm sure other people listening to this also find it hard to go from your busy day to just like mm-hmm. get in the bed and go to sleep. So what
yes.
are some ways, some healthier ways we can wind down and get into that healthier sleep pattern.
It really is difficult sometimes to shut everything off.
Yes.
And just go from being on all day and running around and errands and working and making sure you get things done to, okay, now I just have to stop, relax, be quiet, be still. So some of the things that help is if you've never tried meditation, sometimes that helps to kind of calm the brain down, sitting quietly in a room, or maybe some light reading. Now, sometimes if you get a really good book and it's really, really good, if it's a page turner, then you may keep reading and you don't go to sleep. So when I say light reading, I mean something that is not too activating, but just kind of helps you relax and allows your brain to focus on one thing for a while so that you don't have all these different thoughts constantly running through your mind. Some of my patients have found it helpful to sip a little tea in the evening. Of course, not with a lot of caffeine.
Right.
Because we don't want to have you activated and awake.
Right.
But sometimes a little nighttime tea or tea with a little bit of chamomile just helps you feel more calm and relaxed. Also, I found that patients who take like a warm bath a little bit before they go to bed in the evening, that also kind of helps you relax and just feel comfortable. And then, you know, to go from a warm bath and just go to the bed and just kind of have that nice relaxed feeling where you can relax, that does help as well.
Okay, good. And then is it important to, what about eating close to bedtime? Should we, you know, avoid eating after a certain time or too close to our bedtime?
Certainly. So you don't want to eat too close to bedtime. You want to have a few hours there in between your last meal and when you get ready to lie down to go to sleep. You have to allow your body time to digest and rest and process those foods. Sometimes if you eat too close to bed, that'll cause issues with reflux, indigestion, and then it becomes uncomfortable and it's hard to sleep and relax when you have all that going on. Most of our digestion actually takes place while we're sleeping at night. So that's why those 8 hours become important again, because you want to allow your body time to do all the things that it needs to do to get ready for the next day.
What about alcohol? I know a lot of people think having a glass of wine or two before bed can help you relax and fall asleep.
Yes.
But is that true?
It is not, actually. That's another common misconception, and I'm glad you brought that up. I've had patients say, well, you know, I have a little nightcap in the evening. I'll have a nice little glass of wine, and it helps me relax and wind down. And it's kind of like a false sense of relaxation. You may feel that initially, but what happens is as your body is metabolizing the alcohol, it actually switches and you become a little bit more activated and more awake. And so alcohol use before bedtime is actually a very common cause of insomnia. So if you do enjoy having a glass of wine occasionally, we advise you to have it a little bit earlier in the day. And the same thing goes with exercise. We strongly advise exercise. Exercise is very important. However, you don't want to exercise too close to bedtime either. Because it does the same thing. You know, you get your heart rate up, you become energetic, and then it's hard to kind of wind things back down again. So although we do strongly encourage exercise, we want to put several hours in between the time you finish your exercise and then the time you get ready to go to bed.
And then what about a sleep schedule? How important is it to go to bed and wake up at the same time each day?
It's very important to be consistent with your sleep habits. So for patients who are having difficulty with sleep, we recommend trying to start sleeping at the same time every night. So if you get your body into the routine and you hear about circadian body rhythms and your brain and your hormones and melatonin levels and all those things, you want to be consistent. So if you're having issues, you definitely want to say, okay, I'm going to try 9 p.m. tonight or I'm going to try 10 o'clock. Consistency is key. And that really does help just kind of get your body on a regular schedule.
Great. Thank you. So my last question is really about what people should do if they are having trouble sleeping and it's beyond what these kind of healthy sleep habits can help with. You know, what are there treatment options with for sleep trouble? Where do you recommend people start?
So first, we want to recommend lifestyle changes, the things that we talked about earlier. If you try those things, you make those changes, you really make a commitment to creating a healthy, peaceful, restful bedroom environment, and you're still having difficulty, I would say the next step would be to speak with your healthcare provider and have a consultation.
Okay.
And just say, hey, I've tried all these wonderful things, but I just still don't feel rested when I wake up. Either I'm having difficulty falling asleep or I fall asleep okay, but then I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't go back to sleep. Because sometimes there are underlying health issues that may be diagnosed that may be affecting the quality of your sleep. And so if something like that is going on, we certainly want to be aware so we can get to the underlying issue so we can treat whatever that issue may be to help you sleep better. Something, for example, that could be causing insomnia may be something like obstructive sleep apnea. In obstructive sleep apnea, what happens is when you attempt to lie down and go to sleep, your airway closes a little bit, and it also causes lower oxygen levels. And so your brain and your heart and your organs aren't getting enough oxygen. And when you wake up the next morning, it causes you to feel tired, exhausted, maybe a little irritable. Maybe you find yourself taking naps frequently throughout the day. And then that throws off your sleep schedule that we talked about earlier that's so important. Sometimes it could be an issue of a mood disorder. A lot of my patients who struggle with severe anxiety have difficulty with sleeping at night. And they frequently say, well, I just worry so much about things and I feel so anxious and so on edge. I just can't turn my brain off. I can't shut it off. My mind is always racing. And so in that case, we have medications to assist with that, or maybe psychotherapy or group counseling. We have things available to help that as well. So if you make these changes and, you know, try to do the relaxing routines and try to eat healthy and exercise, remove the electronic devices and all the distractions from the bedroom, and there's still an issue with not getting enough quality sleep, we certainly want to know about it, because we want to make sure that you are getting good sleep, because it is very important for so many different things.
I mean, it really affects every aspect of our health, it sounds like.
It does.
So we have another podcast episode coming up in a few weeks that talks a little bit more about that screen time and using those devices at night before sleep. So we'll talk more about that in a few weeks, because I know that's one of the major problems we all have with sleep is looking at our phones in bed. But is there anything else you'd like to add about healthy sleep habits before we wrap up?
I would just encourage patients to remember that life is all about balance. I know that in the society and the culture that we live in, everything is so fast paced and we feel like we have so many things to do in just a 24-hour period. We have to try to juggle work and family and school and just life in general. And sometimes we have a tendency to put ourselves and our own personal needs last. And unfortunately, healthy eating and exercise and sleep are the first things that kind of go out the window. So I would just encourage everyone to try to make that a priority and find more of a balance. And if sleep is an issue for you, please just talk to your doctor or healthcare provider about it.
That's great. Thank you. And, you know, I'll just add that to create a healthy nighttime routine, you can just start by trying one or two of the things we've talked about. It doesn't have to be a 2-hour long, super involved routine to get you into some good sleep. But just try a couple of things and see what works for you, what helps you relax and have a good night's sleep. Thank you so much, Dr. Chisholm, for joining us. Thank you to everyone who's listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another Small Step for Better Health. Follow us on social media for more tips and more education about these steps. Sign up for our email newsletter, where we will include more information about all of these. Thank you again for your time, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.